You're listening to Jill Russell on the Business Networking Show.
It involves talking about the charity, getting out there, networking, but also fundraising, and just getting in the community and encouraging them to help us and support us.
So you was volunteering for, obviously, on the PT. You said PTFA. I'm used to saying PTA. What's the...
Friends. You don't have to be a parent or a teacher. You can just be a friend.
Oh, you see, you know, I was on the PTA many, many years ago. All my children are very old now, like me. So the PTFA, so you was doing that and you was enjoying that. Was you doing any other volunteering?
So around things that my children were doing, so I supported their gymnastics class because I had some skills in that. I supported their Cubs group because I had some skills in that. I volunteered since I was a child. You know, my mum was a guide leader. I used to volunteer help at Rainbows and Brownies. So volunteering for me has always been part of my life in some way, shape or form.
Yeah, I mean, that's so interesting. Shane, have you ever done any volunteering?
Yeah, I currently do. I help out local football clubs running that. So yeah, I've volunteered. I do volunteer quite a lot doing that, which I really, really enjoy. It kind of fills a gap for me, not playing a sport as much as I'd like to nowadays because I'm getting old, basically. But,
I'm glad this is radio. None of us are that old. There's a theme. So what do you do? What is your role as a volunteer for the football club?
So yeah, I help run it. So my little ones play football, so I get involved and help the support and delivering that across the area that we work in. So yeah, that's really rewarding.
Yeah.
Engaging, seeing young people thrive and having the opportunity to
do that. Yeah. It was my honour to have Joe Thomas of Phil Football Coaching on. And what an amazing young man, 20 years old, and is training up to 65 boys and girls a week and just has not got the capacity. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing. A great, and I think you know Joe, don't you? So shout out to Joe at Fulfill Coaching. So, okay, so you're volunteering. I did some volunteering too for medical detection dogs. They're based in Milton Keynes. So I went out and told people about medical detection dogs and all the wonderful things these dogs can do, from sniffing out cancer to helping people with diabetes type 1. Would you agree with me that actually I always felt bad when I volunteered because I thought I always come out feeling better than what I'd given? Did you understand what I mean? It's actually a really good feeling. Do you feel that?
It's a fulfilling role, isn't it, really? Yeah. In volunteering, as much as you want others to get something out of it, it's also the opportunity for you, not in a selfish way, but to get something back as well. And so, I completely agree with that.
Yeah, and we see that at Calm. All of our feedback from our volunteers is that their well-being improves. They feel better for doing it. They feel part of the community. It's absolutely one of the most rewarding things that you can do.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, something came up on my LinkedIn today. And I'm hoping this person's going to come on the radio again, looking for businesses who are willing to help small charities. Yeah, coming on and doing that. But I'm smiling because I've just remembered I was a volunteer a few years back for an acting school, and we went into secondary schools and we was trained to do one-to-one with children that were teenagers that were having a particularly difficult time, and to give them a space to talk. And this one lad, he was 13 years old, I remember, he was going through a tough time, and we had a good relationship, and it was coming up to the World Cup and we was breaking for the school holidays, and he loved football, and he was like, I said, right, you're going to watch the World Cup, right? When you come back, you know, maybe England are going to win, okay? And World Cup come, we come back, and he come in. I said, oh, did you watch the World Cup? He was like, no, miss. I said, what? Are you all right? He said, no, I didn't get to watch it. I said, why is that? He went, I found women. Like, what do you mean you found women? And he was like, got a girlfriend, miss, and she wanted to go to the park. She didn't want to watch football. So he said, I missed the World Cup. Oh my God, that just melted my heart. Absolutely melted my heart. So yeah, all things volunteering. So on that, Victoria, what sort of things are you, sort of people that you looking for to come and volunteer?
We have a wide range of roles. So if you can give up some time every week, we need befrienders that visit people in their homes, people that can't leave their homes. Mm. Generally, they don't have any visitors, family don't live nearby, they sit alone by themselves.
Bless them.
You know, it's so sad. And our volunteers go in once a week for a couple of hours, have a cup of tea and a chat. There's no, we don't want them to be a carer. They don't do the shopping. There's no real commitment other than to sit and have a chat and be someone's friend.
Yeah.
And we just send them once a week. We make the pairing so that it can be a genuine friendship. And a lot of our volunteers that are befrienders have been doing it for 10 years with the same client.
Wow.
You know, it can really go on and become a true friendship.
Yeah.
And that's really important, that they feel that relationship, that they feel the connection. So if someone's got a couple of hours a week, that's a perfect role. Equally, we have a role called communities, which is a much lower commitment. And that's for 2 times a year. You have a tea party at your home and you invite some older people from your area to come along to your tea party. So that's a much less commitment, still a volunteering role, but you only are committing 2 mornings a year.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a much lower. And we've got many roles in between that as well, each of which are rewarding, but have different skills needed to do them.
Yeah, absolutely. So if somebody comes along to you, do they get, obviously you're looking at them and making sure they're the right person. Do they get any training for this, any support? You know, how does, if they go in and say things are with the, if they've befriended somebody, if that person's maybe not feeling well, you know, how does that work?
Absolutely. So we have staff, part-time staff that are coordinators for those volunteers. So we've got 2 befriending coordinators, one for each area. And we train our volunteers. We have regular meetings with our volunteers. Those coordinators will also get in contact with them, check up with them. But if they ever feel that there's something wrong, whether that be a medical thing or there's just something doesn't feel right compared to normal, they can contact the coordinator and the coordinator will take it from there. The volunteer doesn't have that responsibility. Yeah. They just need to refer it back to us and CALM will take over and get in any agencies that need to be brought in to help that person.
Oh, that's brilliant. You know, and if people are thinking about it's something that they would like to consider, what's the best way for them to get in touch and what happens?
So if anyone wants to volunteer, they should contact our office. They can do that over the phone. So they can call our office, which is 01233 758 122, or contact us via email, which is office@calmromneymarsh.org.uk. You can go on our website. There's a contact form on there. You can contact us on any of the social medias. You know, that will be me answering you, one of my other job roles.
We haven't got that one on there, have we?
So any of those routes, if you contact us, we will get back in touch with you, find out what you're interested in doing, whether it's helping on our allotment, running a tea party, helping at our meeting points, which are like coffee mornings, being a befriender. We're just about to start a new service called Social Drives, which is taking people out on a little trip, maybe to get an ice cream or, you know, go to the beach. We have all of these roles. If you're not sure what you want to do, but you know you've got some time, contact us and we can talk you through it.
That's really great. I think it's, I would encourage any of you that are thinking, oh, is this right for me? Just do the first step. Just make contact. You're not making a commitment. You're just finding out the information. And I'm going to talk to Victoria further during this program, because I want to explore if there's anybody out there that you know that is feeling lonely and that maybe like some help, how they get in contact with you and what the role is for them, because this is very much a two-way thing. We're speaking about volunteers now. We're going to talk about fundraising and we're going to talk about how you help other people. And if there's anybody out there listening that knows somebody or is that person, then there is help there. So this is what this is all about. People orientated today, very people orientated. And I would definitely need to get back out volunteering and try and keep sane. Yeah. Try and keep sane. Can we come to you now? Because the education people, first of all, let's go back a little bit.
Yeah.
How did we actually have only just met?
Literally today, first time face to face.
Yeah.
You met a colleague of mine at a networking event, which has obviously led to us participating today.
Should give him a shout out.
Yeah, Tom, who works alongside me, our serial networker. He kind of made the introduction, and yeah, we thought we'd jump at the chance to promote the work we do and show how we add value to the wider Kent and Medway businesses.
Yeah, and actually Victoria and I met at the same event that I met Tom at, and it was, let's do a shout out for Metro Bank in Ashford in Kent. And they run free networking events there. And Linda Cloak from Synergy, they run those. And it was a really great event. It was the first time I'd actually been to Ashford Town Centre, because I don't live anywhere near there. And it was really great. And I was so pleased because I got to meet Victoria, I got to meet Tom, and then Tom chucked you in the deep end.
I well volunteered for that.
Yeah. And you know, we literally met about 10 minutes ago in the corridor, which it's a very nice corridor, shall I say. It's got a very nice chaise longue in there, but yeah, that's fine. So do you actually do networking, or do you just send Tom out?
No. So we actively network as an organisation. So it's so powerful to spread the word through others. We cover many networking events across Kent and Medway. We're getting a lot of a wider presence now, which is great. A lot more people hearing about the fantastic work that we do within the education people, and especially our supported employment service. So yeah, for us, it's a real big opportunity for us to really engage with businesses on the ground, understanding their needs and kind of listening to how we can support them. So we kind of flip the way that we offer our support to businesses. It's not asking, can you do this? It's more around how can we support your particular business need at a particular time as well. So we follow something called the support employment model and framework, which data-driven showcases that actually by listening to a business and what their need is, and especially if that's around recruitment, retention, whatever it may be, it could be something simple along the lines of just needing some training. They want to understand areas of disability or inclusivity in the workplace. We listen to their need. We look at how we can kind of support that need. And then the relationship starts from there. We build trust. And then we've been around for 32 years, just over 32 years as an organisation, supporting people with barriers. So I've really not touched on what we do in a sense.
Yeah, and because it is so broad. When Tom was speaking to me, I was like, we need to know more about this. Business people need to know more. Also, the general public need to know more, because there's people out there that need your help. 100%. It's not just businesses. If we flip it. So could you tell us a little bit about, you're called the education people, but you do so much more. Tell us a little bit about who you help to put into employment.
Yeah. So we've got, for the last just over 32 years, we've been supporting people with disability and health-related issues into the world of work. And that's breaking down them barriers, and then disabilities could be a wide range of different disabilities. Not all disabilities are visual.
No.
I think that's a key point to get across to everyone listening. But what we have done recently is we've just engulfed in a new project called Connect to Work, which is the accountable bodies are Kent County Council and Medway Council. And what that's enabled us to do is kind of widen our talent pool of individuals that we can support. So we do still support people with disabilities, health-related issues as well. But also we look at other complex barriers such as ex-offenders. It could be ex-carers. It could be a homeless person. Mm. It could be ex-armed forces, someone that's suffered domestic abuse or a survivor of domestic abuse. It's a wide range of barriers now that we support, which, yet again, the need is out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
We can see that with higher levels of unemployment rate across the county as a whole. So the need to break down these barriers. So for us, you touched on, it's a two-prong attack. You could be listening today and you know someone, a friend or family that's could benefit from us and can engage in our project and in our projects and our services, get a real well-rounded support offer And again, these are people that want to work. This is not people coming to us because they're being told they have to engage us and it's mandatory.
Yeah.
This is voluntary. So I think the key bit that we really want to get across from the business point of view is that we have skilled workers out there that are in an untapped talent pool,
yeah,
that don't get the opportunities that maybe they deserve and they're able to do. So we kind of come along and kind of knock that barrier down, support them with their confidence, getting them to the level where they can enter the workplace and then continue to work with them as well. Because it's not, the end goal isn't just to get someone into world of work, it's keeping that sustainable employment as well.
That's really interesting. And if I may, I want to touch on, you use this word barriers.
Yeah.
And let's explore that a little bit more. So I'm assuming that you're saying there's barriers for those people who want to work.
Yeah.
And there's barriers as well for businesses. So explain those a little bit more and how you can help with that.
So with barriers, say mental health as an example, someone that's going through having problems with their mental health, mm-hmm. obviously potentially become a barrier to employment, and they might have left work for a period of time to focus on their mental health. But then getting back into the world can be quite a lonely, difficult place. Yeah. So we can kind of come in and provide that extra support to that particular individual as well.
What would that support look like? Because I'm assuming that, one of the barriers is loss of confidence.
Yeah. So straight away, we will follow the supported employment model. So we do something called like a vocational profile. So it's an ongoing kind of piece of work that we do where we really get to know the individual that we're going to be working with, build up that relation, build up that trust. So then they feel more confident to open up to us with their struggles that they may have had previously, what their barrier means to them as well. Because when we say mental health, the way that I view mental health is different to maybe how both of you view mental health.
Yeah.
So we really get to know their needs, understand it. Again, it's not looking at what someone can't do. It's looking at what someone can do. So we really focus on that element
positive side of things.
Definitely. Yeah. Look at their skill set, their knowledge, their experience that they've got. We continue to work with them. Then we might look at some of the gaps and we might realise that they need a particular experience in a particular field. So we could look at things like work experience, volunteering, which we've just discussed a lot about already. And then we get them kind of more rounded and bring up that confidence, maybe take out some of that anxiety that they might have going back into the workplace or looking for the world of work. Behind the scenes, we're constantly engaging with employers. It's all about the job match. We're not placing someone into the world of work just for the sake of getting into the world of work.
That's so important because you hear that all the time. And then that poor person or the business suffers.
Yeah.
And then that person suffers because massively. They've lost that trust. I mean, you must build up. What I love about this is I love the fact that you're not just bringing somebody in, giving them an interview, and then placing them. You're really looking after them, getting to know them.
Yeah.
And what you said as well about once they're placed, you've not left them. You are there supporting them.
Yeah, continue that in-work support. And that's so valuable in that supported employment model, as many of us listening and us around the table, when you go into the world of work, sometimes that's the scariest bit as well.
Absolutely.
Getting in there and seeing how that kind of world of work works. So we continue that support with that individual. But yet again, we're not just supporting the individual at that point. We're also supporting the business, because this could be the first time. If it's a small business, it might be the first time that they're engaging someone, as the example I use around mental health, that they've come across that. So actually that business needs support in how to deal with
that
as well.
They might not understand that particular, that particular disability, that particular... And it is, when you're talking about, if we touch on disability, it takes a lot of courage and trust to be able to tell somebody what your disability is. And the normal work model is to go in there and put your best self forward. You're not telling them what's wrong. So this is where, is this a free service?
Yep. Free service. So we're funded by local and central government, as well as schools and colleges. It's a free service. So it's kind of, if you're an individual out there that's looking for the world of work and you've currently got a barrier or overcoming a barrier to the world of work, then definitely look at the offer that we can provide and support. The positive case studies that we've got, and it's great hearing from me today, but that's only a part of it, but hear from the individuals we support in the world as well.
And I'd love, we'll definitely come on to that. And I know Victoria's got some real life examples, because I think it then brings it to life. Because if you're hearing about this for the first time, you might be like asking all sorts of questions, not knowing it, but you know, I think we all know somebody that is struggling. Yeah. We all know somebody that is struggling. It might be a friend of a friend. And when I heard about this, I said to Tom, oh my goodness, we need to get this out. We need to really spread this word. And the same with you, Victoria, when I heard about what you're doing with the care in the community, and I was like, yeah, you know, that loneliness, you hear about it all the time. And if you haven't got a great neighbour, and if your family, which, you know, I know from my family, they start to spread, you know, they grow up and they start to spread, and then they think they don't need their mum, and then they go, yeah. And then you're like, what's that? You're in a different stage of life. So, yeah. And we're going to hear some stories about that. But this is a free service, which is, I mean, have you got the capacity to take on all these people that are going to need your help?
Yes, we've massively grown in the last sort of year now as a service, so which is great. We've got, we cover the whole of Kent and Medway. We've got lots of people. Oh. So our employment specialists, our employability support officers work on the ground, that working directly with clients. We've got an employer engagement team that go out and provide that free support to businesses as well. So yeah, we've got the resource that's there. I think that the real key message that we're really happy with is that the government have listened and understand the supported employment model. Mm. And now this Connect to Work project, which is part of the Get Britain Working strategy, has come to life because of the supported employment framework. So actually we're following that model. The model showcases that it's worked. We've got a rich history of that working. So yeah, it's a great opportunity to engage. And yeah, the interest that we've seen across the county already showcases that this is needed. The unemployment rate across the county showcases that people need support back into the world of work. And yet again, we're supporting people that want to work. This isn't supporting people that have got no intention to work. Yeah. I'm not saying there are people out there that fit in that criteria, but we've got people that are willing to work, that have got skill set, but actually their barrier is stopping them from getting into the world of work.
And I should imagine that confidence as well is a big issue. I know from personal experience, and I've shared this with you, Shane, but you know, I became disabled 9 years ago and I couldn't work. And then thinking about, did I want to come back into work? What did I want to do? It was, oh my goodness, how am I going to explain this? How have I got, and I'm quite a confident person, and it's like, where do I go? And actually, I use the phrase, you can tend to keep yourself little because then you can not put yourself forward for what you want to do. You shrink back or you don't do anything. And it really resonated with me because I didn't know about this program. And I know I've got some people listening today. I was like, you've got to listen to this, right? Because this is there and I know that this could help you. It's so important. So, you know, to find out. And I want to touch on again a little bit later. Would love to hear some stories, but also how businesses can get involved. But let's just stay with those people who are looking for work at the moment. So if there's anybody out there that's looking for work in any of those categories, really anybody in need, how do they, what is the process? Tell us about the process, how they get in contact and what actually happens from that point.
So the key part is it can be self-referred. So individuals can self-refer themselves. So we call it through an expression of interest, which can be quite easily sourced through our website, which is the educationpeople.org. Nice and easy. I don't think I need to repeat that, but the educationpeople.org, just in case. So you can go on to there, you can quite easily find a kind of support offer on there. You can then complete that digitally if that's okay. If not, then we can reach out directly as well through reaching out to the number on the website that we've got. And then we can complete that for you on with you. So it's quite then simple. Then we do something around an initial meeting. So we just come in, speak to the individual, understand a little bit more about themselves.
So when you say you meet with the individual, is that in your offices? Do you go to them? How's that work?
So we can go to them because we understand that travel can be a barrier to employment as well.
Yeah, so the cost.
And the cost, definitely. So we go out and reach in a safe space that they feel safe in, and they feel able to open up and talk to us. So we meet with them directly with one of our employability support officers or employment specialists on the ground, get to know them, but then also make them aware of what we expect as well. This is as much as it's we want to support them, but actually this is what we expect from you. If you're signing up to engage and have that work ethic and wanting to find the work, this is what we're going to expect from you as well. So we do that, and then we go through the boring part, as we say, making sure that we get everyone signed up and follow the processes that we have in place internally and externally. And then we really touch on that vocational profile. That we said, like I touched on earlier, I might go into that again, but getting to know that individual in far greater detail.
Getting to know that, but I'm going to take you a step back.
Yeah.
What is it that you expect from them?
So we want people that generally have got that work ethic and are looking for work. And again, they can showcase that they are. So that could be an individual that has degrees coming out of their ears, in example, but actually they're just getting knocked back for an interview because that barrier is preventing them to maybe showcase their skill set and their talent in the way that they want to.
Okay.
So we kind of just want to really make sure that it's the right project for them. We don't want to waste their time. We don't want to spend 6 months working with them and it don't get the outcome that they desire. But also we want to be honest to them to showcase that actually, if we are finding jobs that you're interested in and the line of work you want to go into, that actually you explore these opportunities at the very least. And we might provide things around work experience, volunteering as an example, because that's a stepping stone to get into that sustainable employment opportunity. So it's not a big ask that we're asking from people. We're just showing that they've got the motivation and skill. And we can do that by getting to know them as well. This isn't, we're not testing people or putting them on the spot, because there's lots of other issues that come alongside their barrier. So we want them to make them feel at ease, understand them, their needs, what their needs meet to them, and their end goals as well.
What their aspirations are.
Yeah.
And I am really blown away by this, because, you know, you saying that you go out there and you meet them where they feel safe and they're not having to spend money on travel. Because if you're out of work, you're most probably not rolling in it. And therefore, you know, all of those, it really seems that, it doesn't just seem, it is that you really thought about this and putting those people who are vulnerable and not feeling at their best really front and centre.
Yeah, I think that's key, because if you wasn't doing that from day one, then the level of support that you'll be offering isn't what you say it does on the tin, in a sense. So I think from us, it's around making sure that people feel safe. Build up that trust. We really want to get to know that individual. So the more that we know about somebody, the more support that we can provide them that can then, like you say, help support their aspiration. No matter if you've got a barrier or a disability or whatever it may be, everyone has an aspiration. We still all have aspirations in this room and what we want to do in our career or in life. So
I always say, when I grow up, I don't know what I want.
I think we all say that.
But it's true. And I think that again, it's so good to hear that you're asking those questions. You know, what do you want? What do you want to achieve?
Yeah.
It's very different from what the old models of trying to get work were.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's it's transformed and.
Yeah, transformed.
I think it's interesting. It's the same process that we go through when we take on a client or a volunteer. It's the same. You know, you're supporting someone into getting to work and we're supporting a volunteer into achieving something that might help someone else. But actually all of those processes that you've just talked about listening to them, what do they need? What can they get out of it? How you can support them in it? All, it's like a universal thing and it works the same way for us.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting because you say it's a universal thing, but I know, you live in that world. For us who don't live in that world, we have these preconceptions that it's still the way it used to be. And this is why it's so important to have, you know, people like you on to share this, to have that time to talk through and put people's fears, allay people's fears, because they will automatically think, oh, I've seen that opportunity, but then the mind monkeys come and they talk themselves out of it. And again, I'll use that phrase, they keep themselves little. And some days when you're brave, if you just fill in the form, you're not making any commitment. You're just doing that first step. You know, I always say to my husband, we're just going to inquire about that ticket, or we're just go and look at that, you know, in that shop, you know, and it is taking that first step, isn't it? And I think for anybody that's listening, please just do it. You know, if you're listening now, just go onto the internet or pick up the phone and make that inquiry, because you're starting that process and that's going to be really valuable. You don't know, you know, sometimes when you look back over your shoulder, you do that reflection piece and you think, if I just hadn't done that, then this and this wouldn't happen. We need to take that action. So yeah, that's absolutely great. And we'll come back to some stories, because I know you've got some great ones. But Victoria, let's go back to you and let's talk about, is there any story that you want to share about how Calm has helped people?
Well, there's so many stories about how we've helped people, but I can read you some quotes. So we, in order for a lot of our funding, we need to show evidence of how we've helped people. And how we've supported our volunteers and how it makes them feel. So I've got some quotes that I'm going to read some out.
Please do.
So one of our befriending clients, this is someone that lives probably alone. They don't leave their house very often. They don't have much family support. So they've put, my befriender is a very caring lady and I really look forward to seeing her. We have a lovely chat and she cheers me up. So just the joy that 1 hour, and it would probably be no more than 2 hours, that person comes and it's cheered them up. You know,
that's lovely.
I've got someone else that says it's uplifting and something else to look forward to every week. So to be able to have something to look forward to. I've got a meeting point. So our meeting points are a bit like coffee mornings in villages. So they're people that can leave their homes, but they perhaps can't leave the area. We've already talked about lack of public transport. So they can't, there aren't any bus services to many of our villages, are there? So they're stuck in their village. So although they can kind of get out the house, they can't leave the village. So we run meeting points in 10 villages across the area. So we've a lovely, lovely quote from a meeting point client is that I set the alarm when it's a meeting point day. It's a reason to get up and get out of bed, somewhere to go and see people. And I just think that just sums up what our volunteers at that meeting point have created, somewhere that to something to look forward to, something to get up and out of bed. Because for people that live alone and for people that don't have much around them in terms of family and support, to have somewhere to go once a week or once a month is really important.
It is. And just something that's come into my head. You're talking about people that are on their own, but would this also include maybe somebody who has a caring responsibility? They've got somebody to look after, could they come out and be part of that?
Absolutely. And you can feel lonely, but not be alone.
Yes.
And that's really important to remember, and that many of our clients actually still have their partner living with them, but it doesn't mean they don't feel lonely. And just seeing the same person 24 hours a day, I'm sure we all have felt that way at times.
You need a change.
You need a different person to talk to. And so, yes, absolutely. Just because you are not alone doesn't mean you're not lonely. And, you know, Calm can support people in that way as well.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. And, you know, I say to my family all the time, and I've got a big family, I've got 5 children and grandchildren, but I need people. I need to get out and I need to talk. I need to find out about what's going on in other people's lives, hence this radio show, because it's not that I'm just nosy, it's just I really, really enjoy hearing about it. So when you're talking about people that are lonely, how do you've told us a few things about how you help them, but what's the process? So somebody's listening now and thinking, or would I be eligible? Can I do that? Tell us a little bit more.
You can self-refer to our services through the website by phoning the office. That's absolutely fine. Someone can refer you. So a neighbour, if you know that there's someone lonely, you can call us and tell us that. And we can go and do kind of an assessment of whether they're suitable. For befriending, we always have a waiting list because there just always is. We're always looking for volunteers in order to shorten that waiting list. And dependent on your need, you may or may not be suitable for befriending, but we can then suggest, say, a meeting point. And some of our volunteers are also volunteer drivers and they can pick people up and take them to the meeting point if it's in the local area. So there's the, it may be that, okay, well, that service isn't suitable, but this service might be, and we can support you in that way. We also do a telephone befriending service. That's not always suitable for people because if their hearing's not great,
yeah,
the telephone isn't the best form of communication. But for many people, that's a kind of a good way of having someone contact you, having someone check in, say hi, just having a conversation.
Having a chat on the phone. And we was talking about this before we come on air, that, you know, communication by telephone, when you're actually speaking to somebody, is so important because you can lose the art of conversation. You can lose the art of asking the questions and doing that. And a lot of, before social media come in, we used the telephone, or we wrote a letter, but the telephone was better. So, in your experience with people that you're helping and coming forward, so if somebody's out there and they're feeling a bit lonely, they contact you, and then what happens?
So one of our coordinators will contact them. They could go and visit them. They might have a phone call with them. They will talk about what services are suitable for them. Sometimes people are referred, but they don't wish to have a service, and that's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
Other times, they've self-referred. And so if it was for befriending, say, our befriending coordinator would visit them, do an assessment. They have to check, for our volunteers' sake, that it's safe for the volunteer to visit.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's a kind of a risk assessment in place there in order to ensure.
Would that include animals as well? If they've got naughty dogs? Or...
It does absolutely include animals. And we do have to be really careful with dogs because, we're sending in a volunteer. So we need to know that we're keeping them safe as well. So that assessment takes place. If a client was suitable for befriending, we would hope to match them with a suitable volunteer. And by match, I mean it is a match. We try and look at interests. Mm. What can they talk about? Is there going to be a genuine conversation? We don't want it to be, here's a cup of tea and then we'll sit in silence. We want them to genuinely find a friendship. And the coordinator would then take their volunteer to the client for the first session. They'd have a kind of a three-way meet-up.
That's important, isn't it? So you're not just in there on your own.
In the same way as you were saying about, supporting them in the workplace, you can't just send them off and hope for the best. And we don't do that either.
Making sure that the right address and it's the right person and all of that sort of thing.
And that it is going to be a good match.
Yeah.
With the best of intentions, that might not always be the case. And so then we'd go back to the drawing board and find a volunteer that was suitable. For our other volunteer roles, they're much more kind of team-based, some of them. So we do reminiscence sessions in care homes and care settings. And they work as a team and go in and run sessions.
So that's really nice, because we've been speaking about more individual roles. I know you've got the coffee mornings, but then those reminiscence sessions, is that where they will go, say if they're in a care home, is that, I'm trying to just sort of picture this. So they're sitting around and they're talking as a group or individually?
So it works in a kind of a format, like a lesson sort of thing. So our coordinator for that creates resources that our volunteers go in with. But there's talking reminiscence, so they have a theme and they try and spark conversations. Quite often the clients within those settings might be in kind of stages of dementia.
So music is quite important.
We also do a music session, which is like a really big karaoke session. and we have volunteers that go in and sing along. The words are up on the screen. People can join in.
It's so joyful
because music particularly can really, spark memories. And I know I've experienced, I worked in a shop as a teenager. And when I hear certain songs, I can smell plimsolls because I worked in a shoe shop. And it's weird how the brain works like that.
Absolutely. I love that.
If something just makes a connection in my brain and all of a sudden I can smell the rubber of a plimsoll.
It is so true. And, hubby and I have been playing vinyls recently, and we got ourselves a record player and, been listening to that. And it was so, it just took you back So yeah, he wouldn't let me play my David Cassidy, but that's, you know, I can play that when he's out. I'm so looking forward to learning some more, but we're just going to take a short break and please come and join us afterwards.
Hello? Can anybody hear me?
Advertising your business can sometimes feel like you're trapped down a well, waiting for someone to respond. Choosing to market your business with fuzzy logic, you won't just be heard, you'll be seen. We offer website, social media and content creation packages that are fully bespoke to you and your business. And the best thing about it, we're affordable. So stop hiding and boost your digital presence using the power of fuzzy logic. Visit www.fuzzy.studio for more information.
Linda Cloak on the Business Networking Show.
Tired of IT headaches? Slow computers, security worries, lost files. Sound familiar? We've got your back. As Kent's leading IT support partner, we keep your business running smoothly, securely and stress-free. Call 0179 5342362 now and get your IT sorted.
Welcome back to the Business Network Show. So we've spoken an awful lot today about opportunities out there, not only for you volunteering, if you're looking for work, anything like that. And we're going to share some stories. But before we do that, I want to give you some information on a couple of jobs that are available. So if you know anybody that would be interested in this, and I want to give a shout out to the lovely Colette Dicker of CDR Collective. Now, Colette is the most wonderful person. Again, very much like Victoria and Shane we've got here. She's really easy to speak to. So if you've got a business that's looking for some employees, please get in touch with Colette. And I'm going to give out her number at the end of this. So the first job role we've got is an employee benefits financial advisor. So this is recruiting on behalf of a leading UK advisory practice. They're looking for a financial advisor stroke IFA role in Faversham in Kent. It's a fully employed position. Now listen to this. There are no sales targets. They provide one-to-one guidance on workplace pensions and financial planning, create a clear, easy-to-understand guidance documents, and it's ideal for advisors who enjoy client interaction and presenting. Focus on advice and support, not business development. And there's a salary available of up to £60,000. So if you know anybody, if you're a networker, if you're a business and you network, you know plenty of financial advisors, independent financial advisors, and, you know, people are looking for roles. So you can contact Colette on 07894 870 490. There's one more, and this is looking for a supply chain coordinator. And this is a Medway-based family-run international business. So based in Kent, so your planning, coordination and control of the production process for specified customers. Support import and export documentation, logistics coordination. You ensure that UK production, i.e. packing, is cost effective and identify savings where possible. You chase UK and Far East suppliers for delivery dates, negotiating on improved dates where necessary. You will need a fast, accurate data entry in SAP and Excel. So that is a supply chain coordinator, Medway-based, family-run international business, and there's a salary of up to £30,000 plus a bonus. And please, if you're interested or you've got an opportunity that you'd like Colette to help you with, you can get Colette on 07894 870 490. And shout out for Colette because she's absolutely amazing. Amazing lady. Okay, so Shane, I'm desperate to hear some of your success stories. So fire away. Tell us all about them.
As you can imagine, there's lots and lots, and we've got loads over the last 30 years. But I kind of want to pick on something that we've done quite recently. So just an example, a bit of a background of an individual young adult that we've been working with. I won't name them for obvious reasons, but they kind of come to us with support from their parents, as in needing that extra support to find work. So they've struggled with anxiety, hadn't left home really for around 2 years, also struggle with their mental health. and they have autism as well. So parents want to support that individual young person, young adult, shall I say, into the world of work, reached out to us, and we went through the process that we've already discussed around initial meeting, vocational profile, really getting to know that individual, but also getting to know the family as well, because they play a key role. Having worked with other support agencies around wellbeing and health and wellbeing around mental health as well, so we engage with that kind of approach, working with all organisations that are working with that young particular adult as well, which is brilliant. And then what we've done, we've got to know that individual. We've got to understand their skill set. We understand that they hadn't left home for a period of time.
And so, may I ask how old they were at this stage?
They were 19. So 19. Not long had left school, no qualifications, wanting to go back. But yeah, again, has that work ethic, wants to go into work, realises at the time that change is wanted and needed. I think that's the key bit. They understand that they want to progress and overcome these barriers. So we worked alongside them. The key thing for us as well is how can we get this young adult engaging with the community again? So we offer lots of things around employability skills, whether that's mock interviews, CV workshops, but we can quite easily do that on a one-to-one basis, but that wouldn't be beneficial for this individual. So we got him into group settings. It's actually coming out of his comfort zone, taking that leap into meeting new people, engaging again. So that was really a kind of a first step. Yet again, it's an underlying support where we're supporting with CVs, understanding employability skills, interview skills, and so on that comes along that. But bringing them back into engaging with other people is vital, because that's what you're going to do in the workplace.
Yeah, but you know, thinking that you must have really had to work to get that trust from this young person.
Definitely, yeah. And it comes to things we do like travel training with our clients as well. So,
well, tell me about travel training.
It could be we all get to work. Not everyone has the luxury of their own transport. So we support people in taking buses to where they would like to go and work. So we'll go with them and talk them through, pre-plan the route, understand the journey itself, whether that's bus, whether that's train. So doing things like that on a one-to-one basis then builds up that confidence, takes some of the anxiety away, then getting them into that group work session as well. So whether that could start off in virtually, it could be done face-to-face, and you build upon that as well. Then start identifying roles that the young person, I say young person, young adult is interested in, doing research around them roles, looking at job description, job specs, kind of bringing that to life for that individual as well. Start to apply for roles. Let's see how we go.
It's like, step by step.
Step by step, quite gradually going up that kind of ladder into the world of work. Yet again, having that first interview. We've done obviously mock interviews and lots of practice. Going in there, having that big, massive step, real confidence boost. Yes, did the young person, young adult, get some knockbacks? Absolutely. We all do. Yeah. We all do going
into the
world. It's part of life. But it's how we overcome them and keep them motivated and work alongside
having
them.
That support and to be able to talk about it afterwards.
Definitely, yeah. And sharing the experiences, looking at new ways to kind of challenge some of them questions and tough questions in interviews and so on from that. Then it kind of left to applying for a hospitality role in his local area. Got the knockback from that, which is absolutely fine. So we continue to work and get to, but literally a month or so later, an opportunity in the same environment with an apprenticeship opportunity. Yet again, apprenticeships are not the easiest thing to get hold of at the moment, as much as lots of young adults that want them or young people that want to get them, but not the opportunities. Yet again, the key part for this is not only do we support the individual, we've been working with that employer, supporting them in their disability confident journey.
Yeah.
So what we've done is married up
those two people so that they're going into a safer environment and the business understands.
Definitely. So we've done all that behind the scenes work with that young adult, but also we've done all the behind the scenes work with that employer, supporting their businesses to sign up to the disability confidence scheme, understanding what it's like to work with us, how to improve inclusivity and diversity in the workplace.
And
as
actually
well.
the benefits that they're going to get from it, because
massively.
I know that I was listening to the radio sometime back when the report came out, and they gave five things that each business could do that's not going to cost them any money.
Yeah.
And two of them that I remember off my top of my head was that there is a logo available to be put on your website that you are disability friendly, confident. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
And the other one that I really loved was for businesses to think, do you Could you share your interview questions ahead? Yeah. Why are we trying to trip people up?
Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, it depends on the role and that and the other. But, you know, something simple so people can prepare so that they're not going to have that anxiety and trip. Because I think we're missing out on a lot of really great people.
100%. Yeah. And that Disability Confident logo is so important and valuable, not only to potential employees, but also to customers of your business.
Yeah, showing that you're...
Data showcases that people are twice as likely to spend their hard-earned money in a business that's more inclusive and diverse than not.
Than they do,
So it's great to showcase that as for your employees and your business, but also to potential customers as well. It's really, really important.
You know, when I'm working with business people, you know, we look, one of the first things that we look at when we're going on that journey, if they want a growth journey or anything like that, or they've got a networking community and they want to build that, is look, what are your values? What are your values? What do you want to showcase in that? Because people now are business owners and general public are much more savvy, and they want to spend their money in the most cases with people that align with their values.
100%. Yeah, massively. And yet again, that is an approach that we take to businesses. Many of the businesses that we work with, no matter how small they are, how big they are, is people that are making the decisions have lived experience of these barriers, either themselves or family members. We get so many people that go, my child's in school, they have a disability, but it's so well received of the work that you're doing. Because I know when they get to the point of leaving school and looking for the world of work, there are support services out there that can support as well. So they buy into that. And like you say, that cultural change and the positive impact of recruiting someone with a disability in the workplace, and how that staff morale and the culture that brings to the bit is honestly, we've seen vast amount of examples. I've gone off topic now compared to...
It's really important, because actually you're talking about that for other people in the workplace. Hmm. It's a really beneficial experience, and it's breaking down those barriers and what people think. I mean, I was, you know, when you was talking about the travel assist, you know, I can remember when, you know, I drove into hospital and then I was paralysed from tummy down. Mm. And my first trip on a train with my husband, and it was like, it was horrendous. And it's just like, you just don't know what you don't know.
No, exactly.
And I think learning how you cope and seeing other people, how they cope, you know, we need to be much more aware, and we need to be kind.
100%, yeah.
And do that. So we've got this young person.
Yep.
Come on.
So we've kind of gotten to that point where they've gained that confidence, anxiety levels have dropped. We've got them engaging with employers, having a few knockbacks. Mm. We've then gone back in for a new role where we've been supporting that employer as well. That's led to an apprenticeship opportunity, which yet again went for an experience day. So your normal traditional interview process isn't suitable for everyone out there.
No.
The roles that you've just read out from Colette, I could probably do enough research and then to go in front of an interview and probably get across quite well that I could do that role. Doesn't mean that I can do that role.
No.
So that's the way that we look at it with our clients as well. So this the organisation we worked with, they do discovery days. So our client could go in and see what that world of work is like in that establishment. Start doing that role with support of colleagues in there. So it gives them the opportunity to showcase their skill set, their knowledges, the experience that they can bring to the role in real life.
Mm.
And then also for the employer to see how they adapt in certain situations in their world of work.
It's alleviating anxiety, not only from the employer, from the young person who is suffering from anxiety, but also the employees that are there, because they are thinking, how's this going to impact me?
Yeah. Definitely. So they went through that approach, and on the back of that, they were successful and got offered that apprenticeship. Yet again, that's a life changing opportunity.
Yes,
and apprenticeship in a great is, I'm an advocate for them, and most people are. So that young person now, a young adult, is starting that apprenticeship in the coming weeks. But then our offer of support doesn't stop there. So we'll continue to work with that individual in the workplace to help them settle in. Go through, yet again, it's two parts of this. They've got their day job, but also they're going to have the training part of their apprenticeship as well. So they will get support from that organisation, but we'll support them with that. But then we'll continue to support the business as well. So that business we've been meeting regularly, we'll be looking at having discussions with them around how things are going, how we can support. We want to go and get to the point where we can start to phase out that approach, that actually that employee becomes more sustainable, becomes more kind of leans towards the employer more than they would do us, because that's what we want. And then the end goal is for us to then come out completely. We're not going anywhere. We've been around for 32 years. I'd like to think we're going to be around for another 32 years. So we could still be there if the need is there. But it just showcased that when you marry up an individual that's made, and again, we're not taking any credit for that. That's all down to that young adult that's got that work ethic, wanting to step out of their comfort zone and get into the world of work. Also, that employer, we don't need a favour from an employer. We're not asking for that. No. We're asking for employers to actually support their need. And their need at that particular time was an apprenticeship vacancy, and we had the right job match for that individual, so we supported their need as well. And then, like I say, it's vital that you continue that working relationship with both parties going forward.
This young adult that you're talking about has come out of school, has never had a job, has had 2 years at home. It's massive. I mean, it must be, and also it's going to be tiring because it's everything, you know, I'm sure we can all remember our first jobs and, you know, it's tiring and you're dealing with other adults. There's so much to it. I mean, to hear the support and know that that's not taken away, you know, it's really helping people to step out. I mean, I'm blown away by this. I really am.
It's free for our client, and it's free for the employer. What's anybody gonna, if example, the client goes into the world where after 6 months they go, this isn't for me, I'm not quite enjoying it. Actually, the experience that they would have gained from that is only going to put them in good stead for the rest of their career aspirations
anyway. It's adding to their CV.
And likely for the employer as well, to showcase that their staff, because you're also empowering their staff to engage with others in the community as well. So it's for me,
and
it's
give hope. And I think this is it. It's give hope to those people. I mean, we've spoken about young person with anxiety, but you were saying about, you know, placing ex-offenders, people that have been in our armed forces.
Yeah.
It's so important and has a different level of speaking to businesses and overcoming those worries.
That's right.
About how things are. What I'm finding is that you're actually created a service for, you know, and I've spoken to business owners we've had these conversations where we've said, yeah, I'd really like to help ex-offenders, but I don't know how to, and I don't want to do that. But this service here is, it's have a chat.
Let's have a chat. You're not signing up to anything.
No,
you're just having a general conversation.
Yeah, find out the facts.
Find out the facts. And yet again, we'll be completely honest. Sometimes it works really, really, really well. And you do get occasions where it doesn't work, but that's no fault to the employer, to our client, to our service. Just sometimes it isn't.
Well, that happens with everything. In everybody has barriers. You know, I've had many, many different businesses because I'm like, oh, I'll do that now. And I've had a couple of job roles. And sometimes, you know,
100%.
My first one was in the bank, and I was far too noisy to be in a bank. So come out of that one. But thanks for sharing that. I mean, it's honestly, my brain is like going, thinking all the ideas.
I was just going to say, I think as well, anytime you're recruiting is a risk. No matter if you know someone's barrier or their background or not, recruitment is a risk. And for people out there that might be listening going, well, I don't have to take a risk on this particular barrier, someone with mental health, an ex-offender, an ex-armed forces, or someone with a disability. Anyone that you recruit, you're taking a risk for.
Mm-hmm.
So why is that risk any higher when you've got, not only have you've got a support network behind them, so you've got us to support the employer. So I think we get a lot of that from businesses to go, oh, it's a risk. Well, it's no risk.
For a small business person, you're offering really a HR service on top of that.
Yeah,
you know?
in an element, yeah. We're not saying we are specialists in employment law or anything like that.
But we've got that
free support service there that can guide you through. And we all know over 90% of businesses across Kent and Medway are small to medium-sized businesses. Not all will have HR and that opportunity. So actually, use and abuse our service as much as you wish.
I mean, there's,
well,
you know, I know you network and I know Victoria networks, and you meet so many amazing new startup businesses that really want to make a difference. And this is a way they can do it because, you know, they're cash strapped in the early days and they worry about the money coming in and going out, but it doesn't mean they don't want to help and don't want to learn more. So yeah, definitely an opportunity there. So Victoria, we'll come back to you because, you know, the stories that you must hear, the stories that come to you, is there anything that springs to mind that you'd like to share of somebody that's been helped and how that's changed their lives?
Well, I think everyone that we help, so over a course of a year, we're helping around 700 people to feel less lonely.
That just shows the need.
Yes.
Because you said, I mean, it's called in Bromley Marsh, but now you're spreading out. Is that because the need is there?
So we started on the marsh, but that was kind of 30 years ago. For a long time, we've been based in Tenterden as well and the surrounding villages. And there is a need. I think very much in this area, there is an older population than in other parts of Kent and certainly in other parts of the country. People come here to retire because it's nice, it's pretty.
Beautiful.
But they're moving away from their families.
Yeah.
And then if something happens and they, you know, for whatever reason, can't get out as much as they used to, they become lonely quite quickly because they don't have the support network that they may have had where they used to live. You know, they're in a new place. And that's also true of our volunteers, is that many of our volunteers are retired and they're doing it because they want something extra in their life as well. And I think it's really important to remember that volunteering makes a big difference to your well-being, as well as, in our case, the people they're supporting, the well-being is also important. We also work with some businesses and we have Givaudan in Ashford. Some of their staff are telephone befrienders. So they're, you know, very much still in their work life, but in their lunch hour, they are given some time to make a phone call to some Calm clients. I can read something out to you, please, from one of those. So I think this really shows that actually, if businesses want to engage with communities and want to support in the same way as you were saying, I think it's really important to find ways to support people, and something, making your staff well-being better because they're volunteering is a way of doing that. She's put, "I love the joy it brings to my telephone friends and the feeling of bringing someone joy every week. I have built up a very good relationship with my new friends. It's like having more grandparents." Oh, so it's just such a lovely. And all she's doing is giving up some time in her lunch hour to give someone a phone call.
To give somebody a phone call. So how does that, you know, if we've got businesses listening in and thinking, "Oh, yeah, I could do that." How does that process actually work? Do you train these telephone volunteers?
So, yeah, in the same way as we train our befrienders that are face to face, we give some training for those volunteers. I believe that we go into the workplace to do that because obviously we want to make it as easy as possible for the employer and for the staff. They are invited also to our training sessions that we kind of hold. We have volunteer training sessions in the year for different services. They're invited along to those if they're able to come, as well as our volunteer events that we've got coming up soon, a volunteer thank you, where we're offering all of our volunteers an afternoon tea. Because it's important to thank them for the work they do. They have a value. We don't pay them because they're volunteers, but that doesn't mean they don't have a value. And we like to show that with those kind of events. And that's really important. And I think, so coming back to what you said, so we can support the business by giving them kind of a layout of how it's going to work, what our expectations are. We can make it really easy for them. But if there's a business out there that wants to engage in that way, and our coordinator does a really great job of kind of liaising with them. And there's so many employers out there now that you see in job adverts that they offer, you know, a day of volunteering or, you know.
Absolutely.
And this is a way of doing it where it actually doesn't impact on their job particularly because they, you know.
Well, it's enrichment. It's enrichment. And for anybody that's never volunteered, actually, if you think back, like you say, there's often things that we do as parents and stuff like that, which is volunteering in a different way. Yeah. But it really does make you feel good. It is a very good thing to do.
And it increases your skills in some ways as well. You know, we're just talking to people and getting out there, you know, and okay, you're just having a chat, but you're using your skills to do that. And that's important. And many of our volunteering roles might help with skills. We've got an allotment. We need volunteers on that.
Yes, tell us about, so where is the allotment and what are you growing?
It's in New Romney. We tend to grow flowers rather than vegetables. And the reason behind that is that we then deliver those flowers to our clients. It's another way to bring someone a bit of joy and to make them feel good about themselves. And honestly, it's one of the most joyful things that we do is to deliver someone who's not expecting it some flowers. It's just a really lovely thing to do. So we have an allotment. Obviously, there's a lot of hard work goes into that, but there's also some skills that can be learned there. You know, what's going to survive in this ground?
And also, I'm sure that there's people there. You're there at the same time. It's almost that social interaction too.
Yeah. So all of our volunteer roles have some form of social interaction, whether it's with a client or with another volunteer. So you're right. Like I said earlier, our volunteers are doing it for a reason. They might also be lonely. They might have just moved to the area. It's a great way to make new friends, even if you're doing the befriending service, which is one-on-one with a client, because we hold the training sessions together. They get to know other volunteers in the area and that are doing the same thing.
Yeah, and they can share their experiences and share, tips and stories and...
Absolutely, absolutely. And I just think it's a really good way of bringing people together. And getting them to kind of talk about why they love what they do and how they can help other people.
Yeah, absolutely. It's reminding me of, we were talking about medical detection dogs earlier, and I'd never heard of them. And I was at a fair, one of these local fairs where you go and there's stores and everything. And there was a lady there, Claire, and she had a black Labrador, and I'm always like drawn towards dogs. And it said medical detection dogs, and I went over and spoke to her, and she introduced me to Pal, and she had type 1 diabetes. And what would happen to her, she had two young boys, and she would have an attack. I mean, she wouldn't get any warning of that, and sometimes she would collapse and they would come in and they'd find mum on the floor. She was one of the first people to get a medical detection dog, and I saw Pal in action because when I volunteered, I was lucky enough to make friends with Claire. And what would happen was that Pal would just come up to her when he knew there was an attack coming on, and he'd just tap her until she got her kit, and he would not stop until she'd taken her medication. Mm-hmm. And that extended her life. And
so clever.
Oh, my goodness. These dogs can smell in an Olympic-sized swimming pool one part. I mean, it's just amazing what these dogs can do. And you saying about going up and being with other volunteers, it was really important because you learnt from other volunteers how they was presenting, et cetera, et cetera. And why this is so prevalent. Last week I was in London at an event with a client, and we was at the Xero head offices, which is the accountancy software. And one of the new members there, I'll just give her first name, Sarah. She come up to me and she said, "I've seen on your profile that you was volunteer for medical detection dogs." And I was like, "Yeah." And she said, "I had the fourth medical detection dog called Jimmy. And I know Claire." She lived in a completely different part of the world. And she said, "I had type 1 diabetes and Jimmy helped me and I was able to go on. I haven't got a medical detection dog now because I don't need one. And I've gone on to have a little girl."
Brilliant.
And she's got a 4-year-old. But these dogs can smell out prostate cancer. They can help with POTS syndrome for anybody that just all of a sudden faints or passes out. So many things. I mean, honestly. And being a volunteer, being with other volunteers, we always say what goes around comes around. Always be nice to people because you never know when they're going to come back in your life. But it is so important to do that. So, I mean, honestly, we're getting that there is so many opportunities out there for everybody. We all know somebody. Let's take some action today to do something. So I'm going to ask, if I may, Victoria, if you could repeat the contact details. And then Shane, I'm going to come to you because sometimes we get people that are joining us a little bit later and they might have missed it. So Victoria, how can people get in touch if they want to volunteer or if they want to take part of the service where if they're feeling a bit lonely?
Yeah. So you can contact the CALM office on our phone number, which is 01233 758 122, or you can email us, which is office@calmromneymarsh.org.uk. You can fill in the contact form on our website, which is www.calmromneymarsh.org.uk. Or you can go on at any of our social media pages. So we're on LinkedIn, we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram. You can find us on any of those and you can contact our page on there. And we will get back in touch with you.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you. And Shane, let's have your details again. So for those, anybody that's looking for work that might have a barrier or for those businesses that are interested, what's the best way for them to contact you?
Firstly, you can go on to our website, which is theeducationpeople.org, or just simply put the education people into Google. We'll come up straight away. You will then quite swiftly be navigated to our contact details on there. Regarding businesses, please do reach out directly to me. You can see that information on our website, or quite happily to give my email address out, which is Shane, so that's shane.forster, and that's forster at theeducationpeople.org. That's the best way to get a hold of us.
That's lovely. So we're going to take a short break. We've got a lovely piece of music coming up that's really going to make you smile. So come back after that.
Tired of business networking that feels like hard work? It shouldn't be a chore. It should be a chance to grow. Join the Synergy Business Community and connect with like-minded professionals right in your area. We provide the opportunities to boost your brand's visibility and growth without the stress. Stop wishing for better contacts. Start building them. Visit synergynetworkingevents.co.uk today or call us at 07769943756.
Yeah. Do you need a reliable property management service or lettings agent? PJJS is a well-established property management and residential lettings company in Maidstone, Kent, which deliver an effective and efficient quality service. Call us now on +44 78 55 746 966.
Hello, Kent businesses. Tired of networking events that don't deliver? Synergy Networking Events has got you covered, whether you're a networking newbie or a seasoned pro. Our events make networking a breeze. Meet other businesses without the pressure. Enjoy pre-planned seating table moves and even a buffet. All for just £20 for non-members and £10 for members. Build relationships that last and get a result on your investment.
Welcome back, everybody. So I hope you enjoyed that music. I mean, what a great song that is. We are all very happy, and I hope the sun is shining on you today. And happy, shiny people, that's what we want. That's what we want. And that's what you're going to get from volunteering. That's what you are going to get from making some inquiries to our two lovely guests today, Victoria and Shane. You're definitely going to do something good. Now, Shane, I'm going to come to you because I did touch on this at the beginning. You've got an extensive list of things that you do. But first of all, let's just go back. How did you actually get into this role, and how long have you been doing it?
So, yeah.
You took a big...
Ooh. Oh, no. How long have we got? But no, originally, I kind of worked in the youth justice estate, so supporting young people that were in the justice system. So part of my role with that was around youth work. I then went into operations and then also become a head teacher in a school in a young offenders institution. Yes.
Oh my goodness. Honestly, I wish this was television, because like you would not have ever believed that from you. No. And Victoria told us earlier that she was a drama teacher. I asked her if she was nervous. She said, well, I used to be a drama teacher. Honestly, I love it. So you was a head. Yeah, so both of you have been in teaching.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's where kind of background come from, in supporting those that maybe had barriers or looking to change their life around. That kind of then led into working with university level as well. Yeah, again, supporting people with disadvantaged backgrounds, finding work, employment opportunities. And then that kind of led to my work coming into the education people. And I think, and yet again, that's continued as the thread throughout my career has been about supporting individuals into the world of work that maybe haven't had the opportunities that others have, or barriers that prevented them. So that's kind of been the
common you've got
thing.
A real compassionate streak in you. You can see that people need.
Yeah.
Where did that come from? Is it your upbringing?
Yeah, I don't know. I think for me, just having a supportive people around you. Yeah. I think everyone relies on some form of support at some point in their life.
But not everybody has it.
Not everyone has it, no. So I think the opportunity to be able to give that back and support. And again, the reward that you get out of that as well, seeing people thrive, but not just people, businesses. It's very rewarding. And it can be difficult at times as well.
Sure.
It's not as easy
I'm sure.
It can be. But that's.
So is it a 9-to-5 job, or does it take you out at weekends? Do you have to,
So we obviously want to spread the word of what we do at the education people as much as possible. As networking events come, they're not, they're either, they could be at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
Nice early ones.
Cut my teeth on those
exactly,
ones.
Yeah. Your late evening ones. And then you could have recruitment fairs and opportunities at weekends as well. So we kind of work around the need that there is out there in the community as well. So it's not your typical 9-to-5, but there's opportunities there to kind of have that flexibility
spread the word and get this out there, because it's sort of a best kept secret if you wasn't going out there and 100%. Doing it. Yeah.
Yeah,
so one of the things that it says that you help with is keynote speaking and workshops. Now, why I'm asking on this one is because we are the Business Network Show, and we have a lot of people listening that are networkers, that run them, that go to them. And often I'm asked to find people, do you know anybody that does this? Or can we have a speaker for this? So tell us about what that involves. And is it you, or is it somebody else?
Yeah, so with keynote speaking, I think for us it's about getting that message across to people around supporting people with barriers into the world. I think it's valuable. But for us, we engage with some real large businesses across the county, but yet again, have hundreds of employers that work for them, but not all of them understand the kind of benefits of having an inclusive and diverse workforce. So we really want to get that message across. We do workshops, so we do training in a sense with employers as well.
What does that give us an example of that, something that you've done
employers? So it could be neurodiverse. So we support businesses to understand the needs of someone in their business that's neurodiverse. Also, we do things around disability confident, disability awareness. We find that lots of people tread on eggshells around disabilities, and it's not because they want to. They're not educated enough in understanding, don't want to say the wrong thing, don't want to offend someone.
Yeah.
So we want to take that stigma away and help educate people and bring it to the forefront, because we only hear negative stories in the press around
disability. And there's so much positive stuff. Massively. We need to get that. We need to get that out there. The neurodivergent. Yes. Now that really resonates with me, because I work with a large business sector who are made up of a lot of neurodivergent people, and they've chosen that particular sector to have a business in because that suits them. Brilliant. And we can definitely do something on this. My mind is sparking now. But that's important. So for the business owner, is there a cost involved?
So not to all of our training. Obviously, if it's ongoing and continuous, then we do look at that at a cost. But initially, our key message is if we can't train and educate people, how are we expecting them to kind of support the clients and their barriers that come with that? So we kind of use it in a sense as our carrot on the stick to say, actually, we're not just saying that you've got to work with this particular person without providing any support, guidance or training. So we provide that training. We have a great training team that deliver that. I deliver elements of that training as well on the ground to employers and bring it to life. And just so they understand it a little bit more.
And I think it's going to really help, because you know, the experience that you've just shared with us of what you've done, you can talk firsthand. You're not going in there telling them something that you really don't know about, because you really do.
Definitely. From say the ex-offender part scares a lot of people off. I've worked in that field for 12 years, so it doesn't scare me off, and I can really talk about the lived experience of young people going through that system and the progress that they make and the challenges that they come across again. And like you say, mental health as well. Like, there's lots of previous work.
Second chance, isn't it? That's just opening it up and making a positive change in somebody's life. And it's not just about the big companies, is it? It's the small people. 100%. Small companies can get involved too.
Yeah.
It's that education and doing and just, you know, pick up the phone and find out, you know, a little bit more. So do you enjoy keynote speaking?
I've grown to enjoy it now, to be fair. I think I'm quite passionate about what I do, and I like delivering the message in the right way. So, yeah, I'm always keen to promote the work that we do, not just what we do at TEP, but what I feel that we should be doing across the county of Kent, supporting our communities, helping businesses grow, and looking at ways of how we can support them business needs in the work that we deliver. So, yeah, for me, it's a no-brainer.
And there's so many organisations out there that look for speakers to come in. I mean, I know the WI do. I know that there's lots of charities that do, because it is that education piece, isn't it? About breaking down those barriers.
Definitely.
And helping and giving people the chance to ask those awkward questions.
Yes, 100%.
Okay, so awkward question. Okay. With ex-offenders, you've spoken about young people, but I'm sure there's obviously ex-offenders of all ages, and they come across barriers. Everybody knows that they come across barriers. Mm-hmm. Even our armed forces, which is it's really sad. So, what are the things that people worry about, and what can you help them with? What does a business owner worry about?
I think when you automatically say ex-offender, I think people think, oh, your ears prick up in a sense. You worry depending on the industry that you work in. But I think the key thing behind anything is context as well. I think sometimes you get labelled as an ex-offender. An ex-offender doesn't necessarily mean that you've been to prison. You might have committed a crime that hasn't also.
Oh, well, see, that's very interesting, so, because my brain went straight. You've been to prison, but there's somebody that's
other offences. Yeah. So I think sometimes bringing context. Obviously, we've got laws in place that, mm-hmm. that showcase what needs to be disclosed and doesn't need to.
Absolutely.
In a sense. So I think from us is treating everyone as an individual. And that's not just as an ex-offender, armed forces. That could be someone who's dyslexic, who's autism. Treating that person as an individual, understanding their needs. And yet again, if it's coming back to the ex-offender point, when people put context behind their offence, then actually that sometimes changes people's perception on that particular person as well. So we're not going in there saying that you should be doing this. It's going, there's a talent pool there that have these barriers, and then we can kind of support that employer to have that just a normal conversation.
Yeah.
Like some people listening on this today will go, I will never employ an ex-offender. After having a 10 or 15 minute conversation with them and putting it into context may change their mind completely. So,
and I've been fortunate in my life to meet people who have turned their lives around and, you know, are now very famous keynote speakers inspiring other people. And I think it's about that education, people. It is about education, isn't it? Because actually the name of your organisation, the education people, doesn't immediately jump out and go, what's this about?
Yeah, no. It's a wider service that does that. Yeah, a part of that, which, yeah, again, we help educate employers and look at it from a different perspective as well.
Yeah. So when you're working with young people in the football context, because, I'm a firm believer, I love sport. I absolutely love it. I love watching it. I'm one of those that cheers and does everything. Yeah, puts the flags out and does all of that. And I was brought up in sport. Actually, my first business at 18 was I started the second darts magazine in the country, Darts International. Really? So I knew nothing about darts. But looking at the work that you're doing with young people, what age group are the teams that you work with in the football?
They're like 7, 8 year olds.
Right, so they're 7, 8 years. Yeah, but you say this, okay. You say this. They're 7, 8 year olds and what they are facing now and how they're growing up and, you know, just the fact, thank goodness, they're getting out and playing sport. Because I think it's so important that children have a wider context other than just going to school. Victoria mentioned brownies and cubs and guides and you know, people that do music. Anything that you can widen their interest and give them that support. Because you also pick up if a child is not their self.
Yeah.
Is that the case?
You can pick it up. Yeah. And then that's a skill then that you take into other elements of your life and work as well. So I think, that's really valuable.
It's really important. And I think, I know that was part of Joe Thomas when he was talking, it was just not about training children to play football. It was to support them as a young person. Bringing that up, and
I think it's anything like any sport, any extracurricular activity is helping that child become a whole person.
Yes, exactly.
Which is what makes them ready for the workplace.
Yeah,
to build those extra skills that school doesn't. You know, our traditional education system doesn't build those skills. It's all of those other activities that build.
And I think
those.
that having to talk and converse with coaches and other parents and just having that diversity of people in your life. And hopefully, and I'm sure it is, that they can reach out and you're a trusted adult where if there's something wrong, you know, you pick it up and, you know, you do that. But there's a very important question I haven't asked you. Ooh. You're obviously a football supporter.
Oh, no.
Come on. Who is it?
I don't mind talking about football at the moment now. I'm a Manchester United fan, so...
Oh, my goodness.
If you asked me that a year ago, I probably wouldn't have answered that question.
I'm Arsenal, so there we go.
That's a chat for another day.
When I had my wedding photography business, when the grooms used to come in, and obviously you're trying to make a rapport with them, and that would be my first question. Come on then, who's your dad? I had so many Tottenham Hotspur supporters in my living room, and because they used to come to the living room, you know, like do that. And but it was actually good because on the wedding day, I would always make sure I knew the results or what had happened to the team. And it's just that bit of banter, isn't it?
Definitely.
It's just having that conversation and and stuff like that. So, Victoria, you're a football supporter?
I'm not. No. I love sport. I love the Winter Olympics. I love it when the.
Did you watch some of the gold medal?
Yes. Yeah, so I just. Someone throwing themselves down a slope on a tea tray just baffles me, but is also fascinating.
Multi-Olympic win. I know I can't think of her name now, but she was on the reporting team and she'd won a gold medal twice for us by throwing herself down on a tin tray. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so glad that wasn't one of my daughters.
It's insane.
It's absolutely insane. And I was boring.
But she's local, isn't she? She's from Kent.
Yes. In fact, you've just reminded me because I'd love to get her on the radio show. But I was boring my children the other day I was watching the ice skating and I was saying, like on the WhatsApp group, again, because you don't speak now, do you? Just put everything on WhatsApp. It's like, oh, I'm watching the ice skating and I remember when I stayed up all night and you was only babies and I watched Torval and Dean win the gold medal. And it's, but again, it is that conversation piece, isn't it? It's like if somebody's interested in sport, like with your volunteers, and somebody else, or if they've been in the forces, or if they've got, if they're interested in crafts or anything.
It's exactly like that. It's that common ground, isn't it? And something to talk about. And it's the same in the workplace. You want, you get on with people that are interested in the same things as you.
Yeah, you do. And talking about ground, this is a dodgy link here. Talking about ground, just when he was playing the music, Victoria was saying about, working with a large company that come in and did something on the allotment. Are you happy to share that?
Yeah. Absolutely. So as we know, a lot of businesses offer volunteer days for their employees, and that can work in a number of different ways. We've already talked about Givaudan doing the telephone befriending, but NFU, the local NFU branch, actually some of their staff came and helped us at the allotment, dug over the whole allotment, built some of the things that needed building. Wow. Made a real difference to that, to kind of get it going and get it in a place where we could, that our volunteers that are there week in, week out, could actually get to a point where they could start planting, because it's such a big task each year to do that dig over. Having staff from somewhere like NFU was a godsend. It was really good.
And also, you know, if there's companies out there that are looking for team building days, you know, it's not always having to pay out thousands and thousands of pounds to take your team somewhere. Although that's, you know, it's really lovely and it's very, people really love that. But there are other ways of doing this and bringing that together.
Yeah, I think we see that with our telephone befrienders, is the people that do that, because we then get them together for training, whatever, you know, they're with their colleagues, and it's a way, you know, a way of bringing them together as colleagues because they're all volunteering in the same way.
Yeah, yeah. It's a very special bond, isn't it? It's a very special bond. If I can I ask you about, I mean, you're a charity. So charities, as we know, need to raise money. So what goes on? And that's one of your many parts of your title. Yeah. So,
I mean, it's not solely on me, fortunately, no. But yeah, part of my job is
with that hat on. Let's talk about raising money.
So alongside my manager, who is ultimately responsible for making sure we're funded.
We do a shout out for your manager.
Oh, Liz.
Yeah. Liz who?
Liz Thorne.
Liz Thorne.
So yeah, so ultimately, you know, the charity needs money. Yes. You're right. Mm-hmm. We don't have public funding. We're not funded by the county council or anything. We do have funding at the moment from the National Lottery. We're very fortunate to put in a kind of a bid for a grant from the lottery, and it was over 5 years. We're in year three. We're about to be in year three. So, you know, that has really kind of helped us have some stability, but that doesn't fully fund us.
No.
So we fundraise in a number of different ways. We do apply for grants, small grants. We go to network groups. So we've been charity, one of the charities that the Marsh Network support. We've been a charity that the Wealdham Business Network support.
So important, isn't it? And thank you to all our networking groups that offer that. And if you're a networking group that doesn't offer that, please offer a free place to a charity. It's very important.
So just us being able to go in and talk to businesses at those groups, you know, is amazing. But also they then fundraise as well. You know, we've been fortunate in that. They have fundraising events, and they then they make give us the
charity. Yeah, they make you the charity. And what I find is that networking, those people, those businesses that are going to networking, that they're good people. They really are good people. And they want to help.
I think every business person that you speak to at a networking group, when you get down to it, they're all there because they want to help people.
Yeah.
You know, they want to help us, you know, as a charity, or the people they're helping, no matter what their business is, they've got into it because they want to make someone's life better.
Yeah.
And I find that with every person that
it's a beautiful thing. And I've seen, you know, so many ways that, you know, and for me myself, when that all happened and I lost my business and we was going to lose the house, somebody or some persons unknown to me still today really helped me. They bought me a wheelchair. They did all sorts of things on a lot, you know, second opinion, all on the fact that please don't ask who we are. We're not doing that for that. There's the money. You need that, and go and help. Yeah. And I think that giving, you know, having received, I mean, I will always help people. I would always try and do that. But having received that, it's very humbling. It's a very humbling experience. And it's the business people that you meet, you're right, they're not doing it to shout, oh, look what I'm doing. They're doing it just because they're good people. And we don't share that enough. You know, the news doesn't share that enough, you know.
And so being the charity at those networks, you know, it gets us money in some cases, but yeah. It also gets us exposure to people that might volunteer. Or if they're local businesses, they're perhaps going to someone's house to do a service. They might see someone in the community that needs one of our services, yeah, and that's important
again,
too.
That education piece, because it's, I know that, you know, I talk about this all the time, you know, and I never talk about my business on here, but I'm, you know, I work in communities of businesses, and I help them with their networking, going out there, and I teach them how to refer, how to go and present themselves. And it's all about asking questions. Yeah. I mean, you two are here today because I went networking. I was like, we need to get this out on the radio. This is really great. But it's taken you to turn up to that networking event, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And our charities and services need to get networking. They really do. So fundraising. So that all of this thing is there, if there's anybody listening, because we never know that sometimes people just want to give some money. Is that?
Oh,
is
absolutely. That, yeah. We'll take it. Thanks. So fundraising for us comes in a number of different forms. So yes, we apply for grants. We do have networking groups with, we've been golf clubs, charities of the year, that
fantastic.
Kind of thing.
Love it.
But we also get donations from people in the community. So like you said about, it's anonymous sometimes. Mm. So we'll get some money from someone that actually doesn't want thanks, doesn't want to be known. Yeah. And that's wonderful. We also, you know, have, sadly, the clients that we work with are of a certain age. And so when someone passes away, we're often named as kind of one of, not necessarily in the will, though we do have a program that will allow people to do that.
Yeah.
But actually,
want to do
and
that.
People do want to do that. And we don't push, you know, we'd never push that anyone, but you know, people want to thank the people that supported them.
Mm-hmm.
And quite often family members pick, you know, when people are giving at a funeral service, family members choose us as a charity because we supported their loved one when they needed it.
And that's really nice to hear, because as you were saying earlier, you know, some people are feeling lonely because their family is a long way away. And that's really comforting for the family to know that,
absolutely. It's not in their control. They can't always, you know, it's not because they don't want to.
No.
It's because they can't. And so, you know, they're thankful that we were there supporting whoever it was in their family. And so we do receive some of those. And legacy funding is something that we do, and we don't necessarily know the impact of. It's hard for us to measure because we can put out some leaflets about legacy funding and we won't know the impact of that for 10 years. So it's a bit of an unknown in a sense.
But something that you have to keep doing and putting in front of people, because you just never know. It's often the case that when you decide to stop, then that's when you're just going to, just going to fly. But I do think it's important because people want the opportunity to do that. And they don't often want to
and
ask.
And I think it's important. And at networking events, I often meet people that do wills and things like that. And I think it's really important that someone has the opportunity to choose where their assets go. That might not be a charity. It might be to their loved ones. But I think that it's important that they're making a choice.
Absolutely. Definitely making a choice. So coming on from that then, because you mentioned will writers, if when you go to networking events, and I'm sure, like Shane, you do a variety of them, what is it, if you get the opportunity to say what is a good referral for you? And obviously we've covered lots of different aspects of the business, but you know, where can people help you? Because they may be thinking, I want to help, who do I know? Because this is all about connection. What do you ask for?
It will depend on the group as much as anything. So, you know, someone can help us by giving us £10 donation.
Yeah.
You know, that's as wonderful as someone giving up their time, you know, and they're both needed. So depending on which group I'm at will depend on the ask. The local groups, really, my main ask is for them to know who we are and for them to talk about us. Because
spread
if you're
word.
Out in the community that we serve, if you can talk about Calm, then someone might go, well, I've got time to volunteer. Well, I can run a fundraising event. I'm doing a pub quiz.
Yeah, I was just going to say quiz night.
I can raise some money for them.
Yeah.
We've got, it's a staff member actually, but she's running the marathon for us this year.
Oh, bless her.
And, you know, having someone that's willing to put themselves through that trauma to raise money for us. And, you know, there might be a pub quiz, it might be a fashion show, any event like that, that you can raise money for us as a charity. That's wonderful. So I think if we're in a local networking group, I want to tell you about Calm, and I want you to be able to speak confidently to someone else about what we do, because they might know someone that needs our service, or they might know someone that can volunteer, or they might know someone that wants to give us some money.
Yeah, and it can be triggered by so many things. I mean, we've covered so many aspects. We were talking when the music was on, there's so many aspects to both of these organisations that you support that actually it's multifaceted. And having the chance to give you some time to really talk about all of those facets is, you know, we've gone from allotments to volunteering to coffee to, you know, I mean, it there's so much to think about.
Yeah.
Everybody out there should know something or somebody that
can help,
yeah, help or need your service, or it is about getting that out. And I think it's have a little think, who do you know? Where do you go? You know, could you do a little bit of fundraising? Do you have, I know there's so many business people out there that get together and have meetings together and work on their businesses together, sort of that hive mindset. You know, well, perhaps you can, I don't know, just something simple, just put an extra fiver in.
Yeah.
And just make it like, this is what we're focusing on. Where can we share that on our social media? We met today, you're still promoting, you know, we met today, we did this, we did that. But in the time we raised some money and we're giving that to highlight the charity.
Absolutely. And it can be so simple. Like we had someone that used to send us some stamps in the post. And for us, that means that we can send out a newsletter to a client because we've got a stamp now that we can do that with. Oh. You know, so it's actually, as a business, that's such a small expense for you. And, you know,
but
for us, it makes a massive difference.
Well, postage is...
Postage is a big cost. And when we're posting out our newsletters to our clients, they can't come and collect them. We send them to them also.
Yeah, it's lovely.
It's lovely to receive something in the post.
It is lovely to get something in the post.
And at Christmas, we have some of the local primary schools make Christmas cards that we send out to our clients.
Love that.
Because
love
they
that.
Don't necessarily get anything.
You know what? When you get the post, and you know, I know I'm old, but I still like this. I still do this. You get the post, and I immediately, before I open anything, I go through it, and I've made a pile of this, a pile of that. The one I don't want to see, which is a great networking visual for all our accountants and bookkeepers out there, is the brown HMRC envelope. Because does that not give everybody the dregs? Yeah, and that, you know, that is a good visual. If you get one of these through the post, yeah, how does it make you feel? Yeah, if you've got a really good bookkeeper or an accountant, we're going to sort that. Yeah, I mean, it's so good. But that,
but a lovely newsletter from Calm, that would make you feel
and
better.
And you know what? With a lovely stamp on it. Now, my mum and dad had a post office, so I know a lot about stamps. You find, if you're sending mail out, okay, go to the post office and ask them for the current picture stamps, because it's a visual joy. If you remember the Olympics in London, my friend had her picture on a stamp, and, you know, it's so important. And a lot of charities, you tear the stamp off and they will receive those because they sell them on, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, let's do a big for the stamps. You know, that's absolutely great. So, Shane, I want to come to you because we're coming towards the end of the show, but when you go networking or your team go networking, what's a really great referral for you? How can we, I mean, there's so many things that you've covered today, but what would be, who would you like an introduction to? Who is it that you need to speak to?
So I think two-prong attack. One, so lots of people out there know how they can engage with us if they're looking for the world of work. We kind of cover that. But from a business point of view, we're kind of looking for elements of businesses that are recruiting. We can help save you time, money, resource. Let's stop shifting through 100 CVs that come through Indeed. Let's job match someone and bring them to you. And then let's get them into the world of work so they can showcase your skill set as well. Do it a little bit differently to how you've done it before. We want to support businesses to become disability confident. We want them to sign up to that, to sign up to the commitment and showcase that they take disability in their workplace for their employees, but also their customers seriously. We also look at things around retention support. So we want to look at businesses. If you've got an employee that's going through a tricky time, actually they're struggling with their mental health or their disability is starting to affect their work life, then we want to hear from you as well, because we don't want these valuable members of staff to leave the business. We want to keep them
so that's
in the
for,
business.
So if they've got a member of staff that hasn't come via you, they can still reach out?
Yeah, still reach out.
Well, I wouldn't have known that.
Yeah, so reach out. So it could be that you've employed an ex-offender or an ex-armed force, but actually they're going through a tricky period in their work life.
Yeah.
Let's come in, let's support them, let's support the employer as well. Absolutely fine. Reasonable adjustments. Are you a business that needs to provide reasonable adjustments for an employee? You don't know the ins and outs of that. Let's come in and support you. So there's a wide range. Do you need some training? Do you want to change the culture of your business? Do you want to improve the disability declaration rate in your business? Are you a small business and you're thinking, we're ready to recruit, we're making that step, we want to bring another member of staff into your team? It's a bit risky, but hang on, let's take a bit of that risk away.
Yeah.
Let's have a conversation. Can you share 5 minutes or 10 minutes of your time to have a discussion? The key thing we do is we listen to you and your business. We'll see how we can meet one of their needs, and then we'll kind of go from there.
I mean, well, you've just opened up another avenue there, haven't you? I mean, really. I mean, there is so much to, I was saying to Victoria and Shane earlier that we usually have three guests on here, and I had just had an inkling with both of these organisations that there was going to be, when I started to think about it, and I thought, okay, I'm thinking there's this, and this. I thought, that's a lot. And then I'm thinking, but I don't know about these organisations, so you're going to open up so much more. No wonder your job titles have got so much in them. I mean, it's incredible. It must be, you must like think, I've got to get this message out here. I've got to get this message out here. And I know, you know, I've got connections, and I know people that are listening that have connections with those people who have radio shows. You may be like television. There's newspaper, there's press, podcasts, about, you know, please get in contact with Victoria, get in contact with Shane, get them on, because these services that they're running are so important. There's so many assets to it. It's not just for one person, it's for like everybody. And my mind is buzzing. I'm going to really, really concentrate and see what I can do to help you guys, because it's just a nice thing to do. It makes you feel really, really good. And your journeys, I mean, honestly, Victoria, I couldn't believe that you was a drama teacher. I'm sort of, I was like, oh, I used to hate it at school, like doing drama. And then you went to me with a teacher look, like, yes, but you're doing this now. You know, you just don't know. you know, build your confidence,
building skills. You don't know where it's going to lead you.
Yeah. And it's never too late. It's never too late. You know, I quipped about, oh, when I grow up, I don't know what I want to do. But I literally am now think, what can I learn? What can I do? Who can you help?
100%, yeah.
Yeah, it's part of that.
Never too late. We work from people 18 plus. So we've got individuals in their 60s that still want to work. So yeah. It's never too late.
Or still have to work.
Still have to work,
yeah. You know, I was supposed to retire at 60 and now it's 67. And actually I won't retire because I'll get into too much mischief. We know that, you know. But there's so much to give, isn't there?
Yeah.
Definitely.
There's so much to give. And what I want you to think about is this is all about connections. Your network is your net worth. Okay. And we build up connections all along the way. Just take a think and just have a cup of tea. Sit down and think, right, who could I help? Who could, what I've heard today, who could that help? How do I need to find those opportunities for the people to, get involved and take that next step. For those of you who are listening, please do not procrastinate. Okay. I know that you'll stop listening and then you'll think, oh no, I can't do that. Oh no, I can't put them forward. Yes, you can. Okay. This is me, Jill, or Gil, as I was told at the beginning, giving you a push. Okay. Giving you a nudge, because if we all took a small piece of action, do you imagine dropping a pebble into the pond? It's having those ripple effects. Yeah. If I hadn't gone to the networking, Tom hadn't gone to the networking, Victoria hadn't gone to networking, we wouldn't be here. There is, Linda, you're like this, there's a great synergy between Victoria and Shane. And I think there's going to be opportunities that they can work together, introduce people to each other. And that's what this show is about. So if you're listening and you're a business and you've got a story to tell, or you just want to come on, do you want to push yourself out of the comfort zone? I'm always looking for great guests to come along, and it's not as scary as you think. Okay. Was it scary?
No, not at all.
No,
no. See, so you're okay. You're okay. You can come along. And we'd love to have you on the show, because this is about making connections and watching where those connections can take you. Who can you help? Great business stories out there from some of you. We really need to hear about your business and why you did it, where it's led you, what your challenges are, what your goals are. And, you know, somebody will definitely help you. So I really thank you. Thank Victoria for coming along today and being in this very hot room, because this studio is very hot today, okay, for coming along. And Shane, thank you so much for coming along. And I know this is not your first radio appearance, because show have you been on?
Been on the Business Bunker with Paul.
You've been on the times, Business yeah. Bunker with Paul. Do you know, I haven't been on the Business Bunker with Paul. I think I'd
get an invite.
Yeah, I mean, I'll have to make him a cup of tea.
See what I can do.
See what you can do. Do you know him? Yeah. Do you know him? But no, it's been really lovely, and I hope that you've enjoyed it. And just remember that if you want to share the link for this program, you can download the show, you can share it. It will be on for another week, so you can re-listen to it, or let anybody know that they can re-listen to it. And until next Wednesday at 2 o'clock, when the show goes live again. But thank you very much for my guests. And I'm going to leave you with a very cheery song. See you soon.